we want to educate
tell you,
people.
Ron, what if I were to tell you, Ron, that those interests
yes.
are Jewish?
Well, I don't care what they... See, the whole thing, it doesn't matter.
You should, care because it's a large... You have taken a slice out of a very large pie, my friend. And what
yes.
I'm trying to say right now to you is that there is a whole bunch of learning that can be done about what our country faces. In fact, I'd like you to know that we actually face losing our entire nation's freedom to the hands of these people and to the powerful interests that work hand in glove with Israel. And in fact, we 9/11 can be traced back, and I can prove that. My point to you is this, that we face losing our constitutional guarantees, we face losing our very freedoms at the hands of this group, and it goes a lot deeper, the rabbit hole goes far deeper than you believe. And my point is this, unless people start waking up to this, even these peripheral issues, and going further with the research, we may in fact become a police state. And I see that on our horizon, and it's very clear.
Well, you know, what we want to do is expose the people who are actually, you know, supporting these policies that are against the interests of ordinary folks. You know, who they are, you know, if they're Muslim, Jewish, if they're Italian, I don't care. What I care about is that they're inflicting policies which are unjust on
other
people.
My point to you is that they're not
yes.
from those other communities. The leadership of this stuff. If you take a look at Mr. Obama's whole administration, all the way down to George Bush's previous administration, all the way to Clinton's previous administration, it is these people's representatives that are running things. They have run our money system, our Hollywood
yeah.
system. They're running our banking structure. They're running our governmental structure. They're running our university structure. You can't go anywhere in any major university without the president being tied to these people. The simple fact of the matter is that we face a mammoth challenge here, Ron, and the fact is why I think your program is so important and why I believe that you've done something really monumental here is for the first time you're getting a whole community of people to look at one fact, but you're being given an opportunity to get people to suspend their disbelief for long enough to look at the facts. And they did. They did in Somerville. They went from 45
yes,
to 62.
It's amazing. They looked at the facts, yeah.
And that's all you have to do is to begin to... Now, you've been to my website, and you
yes,
know that I'm not a guy who tells lies. I'm a guy who dug up a lot of truth and said, here, look at this stuff. Now, of course, getting a city like Somerville or Cambridge to say something, there is, as you rightly pointed out, Cambridge, Massachusetts, houses the two most elite universities in the United States. And its component parts of that university, in other words, the professors and their students, there is an opportunity here for us to begin to have people take these issues seriously.
I agree. I totally agree, and I think we need to expose facts like you've been doing so well on your website so people see the underlying truths. People have to understand who's in control here,
yeah.
who benefits by these kind of policies, you know, and I think when people start seeing that, they'll say, "Well, hold on a minute, those people don't represent me."
That's
you know,
right.
I didn't vote to, you know, to send you know troops over to Iraq and carry out the crimes that our government carried out there. They don't represent me, and I think people will vote in their own interest. And
well,
all we
didn't
have to do is
really
make it
dancing on your corner after 9/11 either, did you? But they danced across the river in Hoboken. Filming the whole thing going off and had a big party over there celebrating. And they turned out to be Israeli special forces. Now,
yeah.
you know, you can't make this stuff up, but the point I'm trying to get to here is this. People came out against you in the political elite. What else
yes.
happened? What else did they try to do to stop you other than just line up some talking heads against you?
I described for you the legal challenge that they made. They tried to go to the courts and basically try to twist the arm of the Attorney General to block a citizen's ballot question, and that was their main form of attack. They took advantage of the newspapers. In the past, they have followed our volunteers and just harassed them. So they're willing to go through a lot of things because they know that they can't win on the issue. Their political
yeah.
position is extremely weak. They know that you can't justify discrimination based on religion. How can you defend that in the U.S. context? It's just not acceptable. So they have
now,
to try to do other things to divert attention.
How many people worked on this project with you when you were doing the grassroots organizing?
I'm going to say approximately 40 people contributed in different ways, you know, mainly knocking on doors, distributing literature. You have to collect signatures, too, to get a question on the ballot, you know.
That's right.
In order to get a question on the ballot, you know, you have to collect approximately 500 signatures, and they have to be valid, you know. So it's you have to collect about 500 in order to get the total for them to be valid, you know, approximately. So it took work. But, you know, what we try to do is we figure out ways to get to people to act on their values. So, you know, we have big volunteer days, and people come out down to common areas to have some food. And next thing you know, you've got 20 people hitting the streets. Distributing literature, collecting signatures, and so that's what we do. And we think it can be done in other places around the country. You know, you mentioned that there's a possibility of doing it in other places around the world. You know, that really hadn't, I hadn't really thought about that, but, you know, it makes sense if you think about it. You know, the main thing is to let the ordinary people voice their opinion on the issue. As soon as you get to elected officials, I would never waste time going to a university president. I would never waste time going to a mayor. Or a congressperson. It's not worth it. Why would I do that when I can get the people themselves to speak clearly on the issue?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that's what we're advocating for people to do. And, you know, I hope that people, you know, will continue to call us. And, you know, I'm happy to send, anyone who's interested, you know, I'm happy to send out, you know, 30 pieces of literature so you can see exactly what we did and spread them around to your friends and say, look, you know, I live in Des Moines, Iowa. You know, and I think that, you know, my neighbors, you know, they support equality and human rights. I think we can do this in Des Moines, Iowa. Give us a little bit of help. You know, give us some literature, that give us some facts. We'll put the question on the ballot. And, you know, before long, I think a consensus will eventually build. You know,
there are people working on so many different areas of this conspiracy, and it truly is not a theory but a fact, conspiracy fact. That what we can do is I'm doing it from a geopolitical standpoint. You're doing it on a grassroots local standpoint.
Right.
There are people around the world that are balking at our government being controlled financially through places like Goldman Sachs and watching criminals from this community take our public purse and run away with it. So what we're seeing here is people are waking up to the fact that there is a criminal gang. That works out of Israel, that works hand in glove with them, that helped form that country. If you look back on Lord Rothschild's letter from the Balfour documents and what the British government did on behalf of Lord Rothschild in setting up that country, the facts all line up that we are opening Pandora's box here, and you're one of the people lifting the lid here. And this is so important because, frankly, the way things have been going. We're not getting a fair shake in this world, and in fact, I think we're all on the precipice here of a failure socially. We could be facing martial law at the hands of these guys.
And well, you know, one of the other things that we did in our campaign is we actually had a second question on the ballot that didn't quite do as well, but still got a pretty decent percentage. And that question, we call it the Commonwealth Jury, and what it was, we were asking that ordinary people be allowed to actually make decisions in government instead of elected officials and other elites that control them. So if that question had passed, then what would have happened is that, you know, ordinary folks, you know, selected in a jury type of system would have been given the chance. And we think that's a better option than having people who are definitely against you. Elected officials and, you know, special interests that control them. So we put that question on the ballot, and about 3,500 people said, yeah, throw them all out. Throw them all out and let us ordinary folks make decisions. So, you know, so we've got some education work. You know, I look forward to reading your information about how you think that, you know, various financial elites, you know, are twisting the hands of the U.S. government to swindle the ordinary folks.
Well, I got that. That's pretty much easy pickings for the info. But now I'd like to know: is Somerville and Cambridge, are these communities divesting themselves from Israel? Are they still buying Israeli bonds? Are they buying things from Israeli companies?
Well, at this point, we haven't been focusing so much on that because we felt that the education work was paramount. And so what we focused on was educating people about what is actually going on there. And now that we think that, now that people have a better understanding of what kind of state folks are supporting over there, you know, with its, you know, overtly discriminatory laws. I mean, and there's discrimination in housing, water resources. You know, if you live in a Palestinian village inside of Israel, you know, you don't get any resources. You don't get any sewerage. You don't get any water resources. You know, you don't get money for schools. I mean, you know, it smacks of redlining in the United States. So we felt it was important just to have people understand what is going on. You know, when we dealt with South Africa, it took a while for people to be educated about what was actually happening. They had to understand the facts first. And then I think slowly, once people began to understand what the U.S. government was supporting in South Africa, soon the sanctions came. You know, in 1986, the Congress was forced to pass comprehensive economic sanctions against South Africa. And then President Reagan vetoed it. I don't know if you remember that. President Reagan vetoed that call for economic sanctions, and then the Congress overrode the veto. You know, and that's only going to happen when there's a groundswell of public understanding and support against apartheid. And that's what we attempt to do here. We want to educate people. We think it's more important at this time to educate people about the facts so that they understand what is actually going on, so they're no longer ignorant about basic ideas.
Desmond Tutu, after a visit to Israel, said that the Israeli state was far more apartheid than anything he ever saw in South Africa.
Exactly. So why is it? It shouldn't take. We should be able to educate people about what is going on if it's worse than apartheid, but we haven't done that, and that's why I think our ballot question idea is so powerful, because at least it gets each person in the community having to at least look at a question and decide where they're going to stand. Right?
You can't
dump it anymore. You know, if you just watch the television news, and you know, you can go to bed and say, well, that's wrong what the Israelis did. But you can't actually do anything about it. When there's a ballot question, you get a chance to say, I'm voting a certain way, right? Because I believe in these principles. So you can take some action. And we think that once we can get a large number of people in the U.S. to take such an action, you know, then we'll be able to see some change. You know, it's not going to come overnight, but you know, we think it can be done.
Do you believe that Boston could fall next? Could you get an organization started in Boston?
I think so. I think that there are people that we're in contact with in the Boston area, and you know, we could look at some of the districts in that area. You know, Boston is, you know, is a little larger. It's about 1.5 million people, you know, whereas Cambridge and Somerville are only 100,000 or a tenth of a million people. You know, but we think that it can be done. You know, we'd have to get together with allies over there and just get the work done. I mean, what I've seen is that, you know, even though I thought our group did pretty well in 2006 when we got 45%, the psychological aspect of this is that people like the fact that we have won. Right, we took a ballot question out there and we won, and we won pretty decisively, you know, after being kicked around for a while. And the response of people, ordinary folks, folks who are social justice minded, they like that we have won. And so, you know, we're seeing a response of people who want to do it and actually go in believing that they're going to win. You know, they expect to win now. So your whole mindset changes when you think, you know, it's actually possible. People aren't just going to shut the door in your face. You're going to be able to say, well, you know, in this other community, the people spoke out against racism and apartheid, and we'd like you to do the same thing. And so
I think pass laws out of from an initiative like a binding law.
Well, the one that we did in Cambridge and Somerville, when you do districts in Massachusetts, you're not allowed to do binding laws. All you can do is put pressure on the elected officials. But there are other places around the country where you can do binding laws. And in Massachusetts, if we go to the statewide level, we can do a binding referendum. You know, that would put the state on record as opposing Israeli apartheid system.
Well, how about forbidding any Israeli from traveling to Massachusetts?
Well, we have to take a look at specific ballot questions. You know, I think we want to focus on the fundamental principles. I mean, what I've noticed is that, you know, what the Zionist side, they love to talk about anything except the fundamental idea about whether or not a Jewish state is acceptable. They'll talk about anything. You want to talk about what's going on in the West Bank and Gaza. You want to talk about the attacks the fighting that's going on between settlers and refugees. They'll talk about anything but the idea of whether or not a Jewish state is acceptable. Right, because that's where their weak spot is, right? They can say, well, it's a difficult situation over there, and we need to move slowly. See, they can say all this kind of stuff, you know, but on the question of whether or not the whole premise of a discriminatory state, you know, that's where they are very weak, and they don't want to discuss that. And that's what our ballot questions force the discussion to be on, because that's what the ballot question says, you know. So that's what we want to do. We're pretty excited. You know, we're glad that, you know, folks like you see the significance of what we've done, and I really hope that people will take up the mantle and carry our work forward. We can only be successful if there's a groundswell of people around the United States and around the world who, you know, take up what we've done and other strategies and, you know, move forward.
Let me ask you this then, Ron. Will you give out your information right now?
Oh, yes, I will.
Your phone number and your name and everything. Why don't you do that?
Okay. For folks who would like to learn more about our campaign here in Somerville and in Cambridge, you can call me directly at area code 617-230-2835. Again, that's 617-230-2835. Another thing you can do is you can go on our website and you can read about what we have done. That's www.divestmentproject.org. That's divestment project, so that's divestment project, which is project. And .org, and you can send us an email, and we'll be more than happy to send you information about what we did and what our analysis is, in particular the piece that we produced after the election was over, when we attempted to explain to people, you know, why it is that there seems to be a lack of democracy in Somerville and Cambridge, whereas all the people believe one thing, all the elected officials believe something else. And so we had to try to explain that to folks. You know, why would 62% of the people in Somerville vote one way on a ballot question and all of the elected officials say, no, that's wrong, that you can't do that. That's anti-Jewish. That's bad for us. We don't want to do that. Whereas the people said, well, hold on a minute. What this ballot question says is good. All right, we want to be on the record of supporting equality and true democracy in the Middle East. So we want to get that literature piece out to you as well, because it's important that people, you know, understand, you know, why it is that there's a, you know, a disjuncture between what ordinary folks actually believe and what the politicians are saying. So that's a couple
Ron,
of ways,
you know,
to get a hold of us,
that,
and I hope you'll put
one of the things
this.
I'm hoping you'll do, and I do want to, I'm going, you know, your site link has been on my website for a while, and it'll remain there.
Great, I was just about to ask you about that, yeah.
Well, I would like you to know that I believe feeding in a slow sense more details, and you can select whichever ones you'd like to select, but more details as time goes on about just how terrible some of the things this country has done. Like, why don't you bring up the fact that the USS Liberty was attacked knowingly by the Israeli military, 34 sailors were murdered, 170 of them were injured, and we still have not got justice for these sailors in an act of war.
Yeah, people need to know these facts, you know. People need to know about the starvation of the people of Gaza right now. I mean,
that's right.
As we speak, they are blocking humanitarian aid and food aid to almost a million people in Gaza Strip.
Electricity to their hospitals is being blocked,
yes.
Ron.
Right. In any other part of the world, this would bring about instant condemnation of a country for attacking a civilian population.
So why is no country speaking out? Why is there no nation on earth saying that this is horrendous?
Yeah, I mean that's what we have to look at. And You know, the thing is, the only way we're going to get that to change is to build a popular movement. You know, I see a lot of the actions done by the pro-Jewish state side as symptoms of the problem. The problem is they're trying to protect the entity that they've created, which, you know, was a bad idea from the beginning. It's unjust. And so, you know, they're carrying out very actions to prevent people from seeing what they're doing. You know, so they're going to starve people in Gaza with the hope that Palestinians will give up and say, I don't want to live in Gaza anymore. So, you know, they're trying to deflect attention from the root cause of issues behind what they're doing. And, you know, they're very good at this. You know, since I've been working on this issue for 5 years or so, you know, every 6 months or so they attempt to starve the people of Gaza. You know, and, you know, sometimes, you know, they are able to create some difficulties over there. But these are all symptoms. The fundamental problem is that the Jewish state was created by expelling almost 800,000 Palestinian people who are now refugees scattered in different parts of the world, including West Bank, Gaza, Syria, Jordan, United States, Canada. That was a fundamental wrong. It has not been corrected. And then, in addition to that, they decided that they would set up a state that had special rules. So it wasn't a state of all of its people. It was a state of just Jewish people. And that's the second fundamental thing that is wrong. And in order to try to justify these actions, they've been forced to, you know, go to extreme measures like starving people and, you know, involved in the USS Liberty. And
Ron, I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. You may not know. Their religious books state in the Talmud that any human being other than a Jew is cattle and can be starved like you would starve an animal for slaughter. And they mention the word cattle in their religious text. And this is what children are taught from their earliest years in Hebrew school across the United States and the world. And the simple fact of the matter is that there's nothing coming out of these people that you wouldn't expect, understanding what they're taught as children throughout their lives. The fact of the matter is we're dealing with a cancerous group of people here that have been poisoned mentally from birth onward by dogma and by an elite group of people who are pushing supremacy. And they now, what you see in Israel is the practice of the supremacy they're taught in their religion. And you need to take a look at the Talmud and understand what it is that these people learn throughout their lives. Because once you understand that, Israel is not a surprise to you.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that. You know, I think what, unfortunately, there are regimes, I think, around the world who try to corrupt what I think is an irrepressible human spirit for justice and equality. I mean, I have to believe that even if you educate a child to look at Native American people as being barbaric and wrongdoers, I have to believe that in the end, that same child, you know, when given the facts about, you know, Native American people, what they believe in, what their families are like, I have to believe that that same child is going to reject the teachings of the regime and instead stand for justice. And
not the majority. Some do, and
well,
I gotta hope that. Not all Jews are involved in this, Ron, and I will tell you right now that many
Jews, anyone who's racist, you know, I gotta believe that, you know, that the sons and daughters of the Ku Klux Klan in the United States, you know, they were brought up in households where they were taught to be discriminatory, you know. But I got to believe that if I got a chance to talk with those people and to show them, you know, what, you know, I'm like as an African American and what my beliefs are, I got to believe that I can change them. So you know, the fact that they were educated incorrectly, you know, that's not enough to put down, I think, their sort of core humanist values, just as being a person.
Well,
so I think if there are people in Israel who've been educated like that, we can turn them around.
Well, Ron, like I said to you, a lot of Jews have come to understand that this is the wrong way to go. And in fact, if you ask Jews across America in a poll, not their politicians, but the Jews in the rank and file, They don't agree with what's going on in Palestine either.
I agree. I agree with you. And that's exactly the sentiment that we've got to tap into. So
you're right.
So that's
exactly
great.
Right.
I hope, you know, that, you know, people will look at what we've done and say that they can do it in their own community. And, you know, and I want to, you know, maybe end here by asking people to remember to focus on the fundamental issues and don't get distracted. You know, they'll try to distract you, but we need to focus on the core issues. So design your ballot questions so that the people in your communities actually get to vote on what's important. You know, not whether or not, not whether or not, the U.S., government should have an embassy in Jerusalem or not. That's really a secondary issue. Right? The main issue is whether or not this idea of a Jewish state with special privileges for Jewish people over non-Jews, is that an acceptable idea? That's the question we want to put forward. If a person is a refugee, if a person has been kicked out of their home as a result of a war, of a conflict, does that person have a fundamental right to return back to their home? That's the question we want to answer.
We got to end it there, Ron. I want to let you know that we did have a little glitch last week, and I want to apologize for that. But you know, we finally do get stuff done sometimes, and it's been a great interview. And I want to tell you kudos to the effort you've made and all the work you've done. You've done a wonderful thing there. Keep up the hard work, and I thank you again, my friend, from my listeners and people around the world. You've done a great thing.
Thanks a lot, Daryl, and thanks for having us on. And we're going to continue to do the work for social justice.
Thank you, my friend. I will be talking to you again.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye now. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron Francis, the Divestment Project, very important work he's done. I must say that, as I said before, a lot of Jewish people are balking at this, and I've often said in my work and in my interviews, the best way to take this criminal gang apart is to get them to have people from within their own community begin to revolt against their control. Jews themselves need to stand up now and say, look, this is not what I believe in, this is not what I want, and I am not going to be part of this kind of thinking, this kind of action, and I will not be any supporter of people who act in this way. There are millions and millions of people around the world from this community, I believe, who are right ready right now to hear these facts and to say, enough now, I don't want it anymore. Now, of course, we're always going to have our criminal controllers and our diehard believers, and they're never going to change their opinion. But there are good people across the world from every walk of life, as Ron said, including the Jewish community, but especially them, because if they come on board with our fight, we will dismantle this crime gang from within. That's what we need to do. If they can't get the support from inside, their whole entire organization will crumble, including their control over Israel. And that place can return to the way it was prior to these criminals inflicting themselves upon that region. And maybe America can start being in good stead with nations around the world once again, not being led by these criminals in everything we do. We are on the last throes of our freedom worldwide, ladies and gentlemen, and unless we start standing up and speaking out and stopping these people with all and every means we have at our disposal, we are going to fail at defeating them. Stand up now, work hard, tell